Okay. You're 27, so I definitely...
And a half.
Shut the fuck up. 27 and a half. I definitely could have been your mother. So you're not... You're younger than Gen X or Gen Z, right?
I'm Gen Z, yeah.
Oh, you're technically Gen Z?
I'm the oldest of the Gen Z.
Oh, they have elder Gen Z?
Yeah, so the millennial is 96, I think.
Okay, that... I was in high school that year.
I was 97.
You were born in... That's the year I graduated high school.
Wow. That's crazy.
Okay,
I was a baby.
Oh, my... Yeah. No, I totally could have been like a teenage
mom. Mom?
That is terrifying. That's fine. Yeah. So you grew up with the internet. Oh, by the way, this is How to Do Drugs podcast. I'm your host, Aaliyah Janine, and today I have Juan. How the fuck do you say your last name?
Medrano.
Is it Italian?
No, it's Mexican.
Mexican? Medrano?
Well, I don't know. It's Spanish.
I think.
I don't know. We were colonizers.
Fair.
That's how I got the height. Not like...
As my mother used to say, the Romans did do a lot of raping and pillaging.
Exactly, yeah.
A lot of people...
That's my family's past, but, you know.
Raping and pillaging?
Yeah.
Nice,
but
nice.
I can't...
Survival of the fittest, yo, natural selection.
Exactly.
Kill or be killed.
No, my dad is like 6 feet tall, he has brothers that are like 6'4" in Mexico.
This is so racist. I've met tall Mexicans before, too. My ex, I almost married a Mexican man, and he was 6'1", and his brother was 6'3". Yeah, no, they do have tall Mexican, Hispanic people. Although, when I went to Peru, I was a giant.
Giant.
I was a giant.
You were a giant?
I was the giant, the big-titty giant white woman just walking around.
You were colonizing over there.
Yeah. I'm like, let me get a little Peruvian, man.
He's just crawling all over.
Yeah, make good jungle people. That's what we would make with my height and slenderness and their mobility.
There you go. Some good soccer players.
What were we talking about? Oh, how you're a child.
Yeah, I'm a kid.
Yeah, no, so you grew up with the internet. Like, you always known that the internet just existed for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, the internet was dial-up up until I was like 10. I mean, I think they had high-speed internet. We just couldn't afford it.
Got it. So you know, like, the little phone sound.
And then we got it, and then I was like, right away, just right to some point. I was like 10 years old, just like, yo,
that's the average.
This exists.
Yeah. No, that is one of the things about the internet. Like, the average age of kids that see, like, their first porno online is between the ages of, like, 8 and 17. Yeah. It's
terrifying.
Disturbing. Yeah. Actually, did you know that Texas, they had passed a law where in order for you to access Pornhub, you have to verify your age.
I saw that, yeah. I'm not really against it.
No, I mean, it's not.
They should do that on all the sites. Then I would, like, if I had to go through that verification process every time, I would watch less porn.
I mean, there are a lot of benefits to it, for sure. I mean, Pornhub, a lot of the adult industry has been fighting them since the beginning of it, just to have people verify that they own the content that they're posting. Because a lot of it, it's free porn. It's not free. It was stolen.
Like stolen, yeah.
It was stolen.
Like LimeWire.
Oh, yeah. As one, you know, very hypocritical. I used to download the shit out of stuff on LimeWire. But in my defense, I have rebought a lot of those albums and stuff like that.
Exactly.
As I got older.
Now they have OnlyFans. That's, you know.
Yeah.
That cut out, you know, all that.
Well, it definitely, it's more like...
then you got to look for the leak.
Farm to door, you know? As people could pick out that they like specific, you know, performers or whatever, and they could just go to that. They don't have to sign up for whatever. Yeah.
That's so sad, though. Like, the guy thinks he's like in a relationship with the lady.
I have had experience. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and that is very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable gross feeling. It's like, bro, I didn't even know you existed.
And well, yeah, they're like feeding it. Like some of those ladies, they're like feeding it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's how they make money. Yeah. Even when I was in porn, I was still like, nah.
Like, you men are perverts. All right, give me some money.
Pretty much, yeah. I was like when I was a stripper, I was a great dancer, but I have a bit about where I was very bad at the customer service. I was always the chick that just sat at the bar and found the dude willing to spend an obnoxious amount of money just to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Which is why I got my degree in psychology, because I have helped out a tremendous amount of men as a stripper. That's most strippers are naked
therapists. That's funny. I never could afford to go to the strip club.
Well, you're also just became legal to go into.
I mean, it's been 6 years, but yeah, I have been poor my whole adult
life. So you moved here from New York as well.
Yeah. So, well, I was in New York for 4 years from 2020 to like 2020, late 2023.
Mm-hmm. Where are you originally from?
Northern California. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I decided I moved there to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I'm in Texas
doing comedy.
Yeah, exactly. So that explains me being broke.
100%.
I started comedy when I was like 22,
mm-hmm.
right before I was going to turn 23, and before that, I was a DJ.
Oh, so you've all of the red flags.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was. Yeah, exactly.
All of the red flags. So, you lived in New York for 4 years. How was that coming from Northern California? Were you in a small town or were you in?
Yeah, I'm from a small town called Auburn, California.
Okay.
It's like outside of Sacramento, between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe. So okay. It's like in the hills. It's like a weird mixture of like rednecks and hippies.
Okay.
It's nice. Yeah. So I'm like, yo, I love LSD, but Trump kind of rules. But yeah, I got like a little mixture of both. So like, yeah, I'm not, you know, it's cool though. I mean,
New York is a big city though.
Yeah. New York was fun. It was really fun. Right. When I got there, within the first few days, I went and found some weed. Mm-hmm. I was drinking at the bar, made a friend. He's like, you want to do some coke? I'm like, yeah, let's fucking party.
Is that the first time you ever did coke?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, my drug history started when I was like 12. I smoked weed,
mm-hmm.
and I smoked with my cousins, and the next day I was like so guilty about it. I called my mom. I'm like, I smoked weed with my cousins.
Oh, well, 12 is pretty young. 12 is it's like they're preteen.
Yeah, and I went to school and like was like, yeah, I smoked weed. I'm so cool.
Oh, cool. Did you even get like stoned the first time?
No, I got high as fuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had smoked cigarettes before that a little
okay
bit.
Okay.
And I knew how to not inhale, so
yeah
so I was like, okay, so I want to get high, so I'm not gonna just hold it in my mouth, I'm gonna inhale. Great. That shit. And then I just remember like just we smoked out of a can outside, and then I was just staring at the silverware. We were like, let's eat some applesauce. There's this big jar of applesauce. Great. And I'm just like looking at the fucking silverware in the drawer, and just like 20 minutes had passed, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm high as fuck.
Didn't know if you were grabbing a fork or a spoon.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, so that was the first time. And then after that, it was like 13, and me and my friends started smoking weed at school.
Okay.
Not at school, but my friends from school.
Yeah.
Friend group. We were like the stoners, basically. Okay. Before we even knew it.
Yeah.
And yeah, we started smoking weed and stuff after school. Like one of my friends, he had a cool dad, and we would just get high at his place. And he's
he didn't care if you guys.
Yeah,
smoked.
He's like, I'd rather have you guys doing it here than out there. And he had like this weed that he'd been sitting on for like 10 years, and it was just like this dusty fucking shit.
Oh God, and I've smoked some of that stuff before.
Yeah,
we smoke anything when you're a kid,
right? And we were just like smoking on that. You know, a couple wine coolers and shit. But I never really, I got drunk the first time when I was like 14.
A little 15. Bit older.
Yeah. Because like those first times drinking, it was like, I didn't drink enough to like get drunk, but I just remember the first time it was like a sidewalk slammer. Have you ever had one of those?
Absolutely not. No, what is that?
So a sidewalk slammer is like, so you take like a 40 of like Mickey's.
Okay.
You drink half of it with mm-hmm. your friends. And then you take a Four Loko and fill the rest of the Mickey's up to the
top. We didn't have Four Loko back in my day.
Yeah, and this was the real Four Loko.
Oh, yeah, before it was illegal.
Yeah, and I just remember doing that and then like...
What was that called? A sidewalk slam?
Sidewalk slammer, yeah. Okay. And we were lit as fuck. Yeah, that was with my buddy Brendan. And yeah, his parents were also like cool. And yeah, we all had like cool parents that
let you.
We like smoked weed and shit.
My mom was the same way. She would rather, you know, have us do it there where we're safe.
Yeah.
You know, and not like out somewhere. We had a party house. That was our friend, you know, Justin and Kelly's house.
Yeah.
And stuff. But yeah, my parents were the same way. And it's true. Because kids are going to do it anyway, and they're going to want to do it
more.
Well,
they are, but I kind of wish they would have, like, pushed school on me more. A little bit more,
yeah.
Just a little bit, so I would have gone to college, you know, like, then I wouldn't be struggling here as much, you know, I could just be an accountant or something.
Yeah, no, that is the problem when you have the cool, laxed parents, yeah. Is that you do lack discipline.
Yeah.
Well, self-discipline, yeah. And just motivation. To be a normal member of society.
And then it was like when I was around that age, yeah, we started dabbing and shit too.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was like when dabs came out, like one of the...
Oh my God. See, I don't know. Because, I mean, all the drugs that we had growing up, you know, acid, mushrooms, weed, coke, we had the basics.
Right.
And then it wasn't until, you know, I was older that all this other stuff started.
Right. Well, like, yeah, dabs is just like weed crack, basically.
Oh, 100%. You smoke it like crack. I have, yeah. And that's why I don't really like doing dabs, yeah. Because I'm like, I have smoked crack one too many.
Right.
All two of the times is what.
Around that same age, yeah, like I tried, when I was 14 to 15, I tried acid, molly, coke, mushrooms, all that shit.
I wonder if that's like the because California, all the Mexico's right there, you know, Texas too, all those drugs, yeah. Are just so more like easier to get than, yeah. In middle
and
of nowhere
all
Wisconsin.
Psychedelics were just available because, you know, there's a lot of deadheads in my town.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself a deadhead now.
There we go. Do you listen to the Grateful Dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I moved on to bluegrass more.
Bluegrass is great. I grew up with I like a lot
their
of bluegrass.
Roots is like bluegrass, so... Yeah, that around that age is when I started experimenting with all that stuff. I actually did smoke crack one time with my friends when we were like 16.
How was that?
That was interesting. The way that it went down was we went to Sacramento to get cocaine, mm-hmm. With an older friend that we had. He was driving this big truck. And yeah, we went to go find, he was like, we can get it over off Watt Avenue, which is like this sketchy fucking street in Sacramento. And we just go to this like random black guy and he's just like, yeah, let's get some coke. Can we get some coke? And then the guy just, he gives us the coke and he's like, I want to see you guys get high. Like, cause he's like.
Oh, he wants to make sure you're not cop.
No, he knows that it's crack. So he's like, I don't believe these kids want crack. But we said coke, so like we left, mm-hmm. And then the older kid looks at it, he's like, this is crack. And then we're just like, yeah, we might as well just smoke it then.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And I was like.
Very paid for.
Yeah, and like I remember at the time being like, dude, it's fine if I just do it like once a year.
I do love the justifications drug addict.
And then I never did it again. I never really was in front of it. I mean, I saw people smoke crack in New York. One time I gave this Chinese guy a lighter.
And he went to...
And he just lit up a crack pipe and I was like, all right, well...
I've done that before. Yeah. Oh, can I borrow your lighter? And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, glad I could contribute.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. So you started out doing drugs really young and you're just now recently sober.
Yeah. So
let's talk about how and why you got sober.
So that that all led, like, that was all, like, you know, most of the times I was doing drugs was at, like, those raves and, like, festivals mm-hmm. and stuff, like, Bass Nectar. I remember just rolling my face off when I was, like, 15. And then, yeah, we started going to festivals. I was, like, playing the festivals. I started DJing. I was, like, I was pretty good at it, too. Like, I got to a point where I was getting booked and, like, paid to do shows. And, yeah, I was just getting fucked up. Like, I remember one time I was, like, fucked up at a festival. And, like, mm-hmm. I was, like, a half hour late to my own set that I was supposed to play. So I only ended up playing for, like, a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I was just, like, getting way too fucked up the night before. And then, yeah, in New York, it really escalated with the booze. I was just hanging out at bars, you know. Because, like, it was, like, a way for me to get laid, basically, you know.
To build up the confidence to talk to someone.
Exactly. And then I would, you know, because before that, I mean, I had had sex with maybe like 4 women.
Okay.
Before I moved.
So not really a ladies man.
Not really a ladies man. I never had a real girlfriend, really. And then I moved to New York and I was just sleeping around a bunch.
Whore.
Yeah.
That's what New York is about.
But then I started semi-dating this girl. I don't know. It was a weird situationship, I guess you would call it. And we would do cocaine like every weekend.
Oh, so it was a party couple.
Yeah. And we would just sit in her room and do blow.
And you can't really perform when you're that.
No, I'd wait till I was coming down and then I could perform. And then I was like, I need something to take the edge off. Fuck.
It does help. It can help for sure.
And then, yeah, so that was like... That was happening, and like right after I started seeing that girl, I was already like just staying in random people's rooms because like
you didn't have your own place.
I never had my own place.
Oh, when you were in New York, you never had your own place.
No, I had a room.
Okay,
like, certain places. Like, I was on a lease for like 2 years,
okay.
And I was like just staying in different random rooms.
Okay,
and then like a year and a half ago. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm, like, out of places to stay. Like, oh, can I come stay with you, Grandma, for, like, a month? And I just saved up and bought a ticket and went back. Because, like, Lucas was like, you can stay on my couch.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I was staying on his couch. And then I did that for another year.
You slept on... Lucas, he was...
I slept on his couch for, like, a month or two. And then I was just couch hopping, finding mm-hmm. different rooms that I could stay in for a few months at a time. And then, yeah, I started burning bridges with all those people because I was just getting fucked up all the time, like, and not saving money to get my own place. I was mm-hmm. just like...
What were you doing for work?
I was, so at that time, I was, so when I first got back to California, I started working in sales.
Okay.
And I never hit the quota. So I was making minimum wage, like, in an office job.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. That place was interesting. They used to like feed me Adderall to make more phone calls.
How was this the same place that you worked at with Lucas?
Well, Lucas didn't work there when I worked there. He just helped me get the job. So, yeah.
I know the office that you're talking
yeah.
about.
So, yeah, we were just, yeah. And then we would have like, you know, office happy hour where we would like have like an open bar to the whole office after. And I would just get hammered and like find some guy from the office to go halves on some cocaine.
Yeah. You always got to have that one buddy that goes halfsy with.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so I was doing that and like I was still like I remember sleeping on the train a few nights like with my fucking button up shirt on like and then going into the office the next day
the like, same at the same
wearing my slacks and my button up shirt yeah so that happened for a while longer. I was doing that and then I got fired from there because I wasn't hitting the quota.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I outlasted, like, that place has a super high turnover, but I was
shocking.
Pretty good at it.
It was collections, right? It's the collection.
No, it was, like, selling business loans, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
49% interest.
Yeah, Lucas had...
yeah. So, like, I funded a few people, and, like, I got some guy $50,000, like... Yeah, it was fun for a second, and then I got fired from there, so I started working in serving.
Okay.
And I got hired by lying on my resume.
Dude, it's hard to get a serving job in New York.
Yeah, you have to just say that you've done it.
And yeah.
I bullshitted through the interview. The guy was like, oh, you're cool. I went there. I was crushing it on the job. He's like, you're great. You're learning very fast how we do things here.
Uh-huh.
And I became chill with the coworkers. And we were all drinking and shit after work. And I was like, yeah, I lied on my resume. And one of them fucking snitched on me, and I got a text just like, yeah, we're moving in a different direction. It's come to my attention.
Oh, what a dickhead.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the service industry. Well, one, service industry people are very heavy drinkers. Very heavy drinkers, also heavy on the truck.
Well, yeah, too. No, that guy that fucking, I'm pretty sure snitched on me was on mushrooms at the job. Dude, fuck you.
What a dickhead.
Yeah, so... That one I got fired from, and then I got hired at this place, Empanada Mama.
Okay.
In Lower East Side. They had a bar there, and so I was serving and bartending there. And I would just, like, once I started bartending a bunch, I was, like, making my own drinks.
Drinking for free.
I'm like, mezcal margarita, let's go. Get fucked up at work. I would get fucked up at work, like, and then go out to the bar after and just hang out with my friends. And then, yeah, find a rich guy who can buy Coke for the night and mm-hmm. just hang out with him. Like, I was hanging out with, like, gay guys that were just trying to fuck me. And, like, just for free Coke.
Yeah.
And that's how I know I'm not really gay, because I had the option. And I was on...
If they were just giving you cocaine without having to do it, you won the lottery. That's, like, the highest level of
couldn't
boring.
Make me do it. They were smaller. I was like, I'll fuck you up.
Okay, note to self, always pick a smaller gay guy.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to use them.
Yeah, it wasn't like a prison gay guy. He's all jacked. I'm a big guy too, by the way. You can't see me, but
oh no, we had talked about it. We talked about it earlier. Yes, yes. He's a tall Mexican. Everybody needs everyone to know that he is a tall Mexican.
No, I'm like skinny fat. I have like a gut. Yeah. I worked out for the first time like 2 days ago.
How'd that go for you?
I'm still sore. And I was like,
that means you gotta use it or you lose it.
It was funny. Yeah, right after I was like, I'm fucking shredded now.
You do feel good after the first workout, though. I've noticed since I really started getting into working out over the past like 3 years, I do kickboxing. My mental health is so much fucking better.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Insanely better. A lot of the shit like cocaine and other stuff that I used to do, or just it helps with the dopamine. I also do like cold showers.
Showers are great. I'm a big advocate of cold showers.
Yeah, in the morning and stuff, and that has helped out. But yeah, like if you get into a workout schedule, I definitely felt it, not only physically but mentally. When I first moved here, I didn't have a gym. I was like, I bought like a pull-up bar. I have all this like workout stuff here.
Yeah.
But it's just something about going to a gym that I need to punch stuff.
Right.
For my happiness, I have to punch things.
No, I feel that. Yeah, see, I don't know. Like, I never was somebody that, like, punched shit. I never understood that, you know? I'm just like a, I don't know.
You're in Phil California.
If I get, like, if something bad happens, I just cry like a bitch.
Dude, you feel your feelings. I was never allowed to feel my feelings, so I have all this rage.
Well, I wasn't either, but I was like at a certain age, I was like, "Fuck it," you know.
No,
I'm not gay because I cry.
No, it's good. Everyone needs to cry.
That's what my family used to tell me because I have a gay cousin.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he was gay when he was like 3 years old.
Okay,
and they would just be like I was like 4 or 5, like crying, and they were like, "You're acting like your cousin," and I'm like, "No, I don't want to be like my cousin." I don't want to be a homosexual.
No. They used to say that to people. I mean, obviously, even still with Gen Z. If you're a man, you can't feel any emotions. You can't show any emotions. But this is why so many men have a hard time controlling their emotions, especially anger. All of a sudden, you just have this man screaming at you, and you're like, sir, you need to calm down.
Exactly, yeah. That's how I am. I'm like, relax.
Just relax.
Relax, man, and that just makes them more angry.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I love doing it. I've had a couple of dudes yell at me, and I'm just like, you to learn to control your emotions.
See, yeah, I get into those situations because I'm a shit talker. So I'll poke at somebody until I get mad. I'm like, what? You can't handle words?
Right. They're going to hurt your feelings. Why are you letting someone else control your emotions?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I do the same thing. I let women control my emotions. I'm like, God damn it. She didn't text me back. She hates me.
In a certain amount of time, why am I living?
Yeah.
It's yeah. Okay.
I got my heart broken by that girl.
Oh, but the little coquette girl?
Yeah.
Oh, did she cheat on you?
No, I cheated on her. She was cheating too, I think. We weren't like exclusive. It was a weird thing.
It was a situationship.
Yeah, and I guess at like one point in the beginning, I was like, yeah, I don't want to fuck anybody else. And then I was telling her that, but she was like, she would be like, I would be like, well, we should be exclusive, or like, she's like, look, I'm not ready for that. If you want to start seeing other people, go ahead. And I would, and then
she'd get mad.
And then, yeah, and then she'd be like, and then I got mad at her because she was on Tinder. I saw that she updated her Tinder photo.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. See that?
But I was just seeing how long we'd been talking. And she was like, no, but you are on Tinder.
Even though she was, okay, now that's super toxic. That's not a healthy relationship at all. It'd be like you guys liked each other, but just don't know how to express that.
Exactly.
Being vulnerable and trusting people suck.
No, exactly. Well, yeah. Well, we're back in contact. We're back together now. No,
it works out great when we never see each other.
Yeah, basically.
It's like me and all my other exes. As long as we never see each other, it's the best relationship.
No, she's like a big Legion of Skanks fan. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm going to go see the Skanks tonight. And I was like, all right, cool. Have fun. But I wanted to be like, oh, are you going with your new guy?
Oh, don't do that.
I stopped myself.
Yeah, don't. If you still want to be friends with her.
I don't really. I mean, I don't know. What do you want to be? What's the point of being friends with somebody you love, you know?
That's true. If you still have feelings for her, then that could be complicated.
It's never good to be friends with somebody you want to sleep with. I don't know.
No. It is not at all. It could be a very tricky, complicated thing from both perspectives. I've been in the position where I've wanted, to sleep with a friend or vice versa. It's both. Both are uncomfortable position to be
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Well, yeah, once you establish that connection of like, oh, we bang, then it's just like, there's no being friends really after that. I don't know. I guess you can if you're very mature. For me, it's like not.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple of people throughout my life that we were friends first, and then, one night we banged, or we banged a couple of times, and then we're still friends. If anything, like we're better friends.
I'm very anxious attachment style.
No, I
have the attachment style of a woman.
Okay, one, that's sexist. It's still Women's History Month, by the way.
Yeah, but aren't they like, because like guys are textbook more avoidant.
Not everybody. I have disorganized, where I have avoidant, like I avoid all relationships and feelings at all costs. But
yeah, that sounds like my ex.
But if but if you get me to actually like you, which takes a lot for me to actually like somebody, then you're mine forever.
Right. Well, that's like how this girl was. But she wouldn't like just be upfront and be like, I like you now. Like she would be like, she would show it through buying me cocaine and shit.
I've done stuff like that.
And then
before.
She was like, and then I was like, well, yeah, you never say that stuff. And she's like, I'd show it through my actions. And then she was like, yeah, and I paid for everything. Once everything hit the fan, I was like, damn, I'm broke, bitch.
Broke. Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah, no, relief, especially, was she a comic as well or no?
No, she's a comedy groupie.
Oh, God, that's even fucking
worse. She loves Legion of Skanks. But yeah, we shouldn't, I don't want to talk about her anymore.
Yeah, no, we don't
you
have
hear
to.
This is going to be, who cares?
I hope I don't know her.
No, you don't know her.
You don't know who I know.
I know who you know.
You said that with such confidence. I know exactly.
I know everybody that you know.
That's adorable. So back to New York, sleeping on random people's couches, cokehead girlfriend we're never talking about again. So what was like ground zero for you? What was your breaking point that you decided that you're like, oh, I need to get my life together?
Yeah, I went to work one night and I started drinking with this regular there at work. And then it was payday. And after that, like, we went to the bar, in Williamsburg, and then got some coke. And like, I would just get weird when I started doing coke. Like, I just like left with the bag and just finished it by myself.
Did he chip in for it?
Yeah, but he was like, I have to go. And then I was like, fuck it, I'll just do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I was just like walking around New York. I didn't have anywhere to go. And then I was like coming down. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. Like, I'm homeless and I spent all my money doing drugs that I can't afford. So I called my family. I'm like, I need help. And they flew me out to California. And I was like staying at my mom's house for a little bit. And I was like, I'm not going to drink anymore. And then she had a bunch of booze in this trailer that I was staying in. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah, well, I guess I can drink if I'm not doing coke. And then I was drinking, smoking weed all day. You know, I haven't been sober this long my whole life. I'm coming up on 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And like, since the age of like 14, I haven't had 2 months off of anything. Like, whether it's weed, alcohol, whatever.
That's a lot. That's a big deal. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So I was staying with her, and then I moved to my grandma's house because my mom lives out in the middle of nowhere. And then I was staying at my grandma's, started working for my uncle doing construction so I could save up to move to a better city for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just drinking in my room by myself, drinking like a whole fifth of vodka.
Ooh, okay.
Myself, and polishing off six packs of IPAs and just like,
that's very construction worker. Yeah. Maybe not the IPAs, but
yeah. And then just going back to 7-Eleven to get more beer. And my grandma was like, you can't keep doing this, like, I'm gonna kick you out. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna be homeless again and I have no other options. So I stopped drinking for like a week, and then I started drinking. Like, in California, I did coke maybe like one or two times, like at an open mic. Mm-hmm. When like somebody had it and I was like, oh, give me some.
Absolutely right fucking now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I was like, oh fuck, well, I have to quit drinking to stay where I'm staying. At this point, like, I stopped smoking weed
because
I was like, I can quit smoking weed if I just drink, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, but if you're trying to do one, it's that justification that your brain makes. It's that little voice in your head, your brain is used to this, to be like, no, we need to at least do one thing.
Well, yeah, I heard it on a podcast. It's like, yeah, weed is terrible. It stays in your brain for like months and months because it stores in your fat cells.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I sound like a guy that smokes weed all the time because I just have
smoked. You have. You smoked weed pretty much your whole life.
Yeah. So like, I wanted to get rid of that and like, you know, be able to think clearly so I could make more money, so I could actually, you know, find real love.
There you go. Yeah.
Because women like money. That's
we do. That is not a lie. We do. If you want us to be feminine and ladylike, you're going to need to have some money.
See, yeah. She was like, the girl that I was dating was like the man in the room. She was like,
I've been in mass before. And I even tried to, like, I've noticed recently, like, I have tried to actually like mask a little bit. And, this person is just like, no, he's like, I'm broke right now and I don't want to see you until I have money. And I'm like, I respect that, but also like, oh, I'm like, why are you making me? Okay. Gotta respect it. I want to be so mad, but I can't.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait, I do want to be a lady. Wait, I am a girl. Why am I trying to be like, no, I'll take care of, no, what am I doing?
Right. Well, that, yeah, then you take care of the guy and then you resent.
And then I resent, yes, which I have done multiple times.
Definitely. That's, yeah. Been there, don't
you? You've been that guy, yeah.
Yeah. So I stopped smoking weed. I was just drinking in my room. My grandma gave me an ultimatum, and then I stopped drinking for like a week. And then I was like, oh well, if she doesn't know, it's fine. And then I was sneaking a couple beers after work. I would drink them in my car and then go inside, and then like drink them outside and like hide the cans.
Like a true alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then. And then I, yeah, so I stopped for like a week, and then I, yeah, I started sneaking them. And then like after 2 or 3 days of doing that, I'm like driving back from work, or I'm about to leave from work, and this guy's like, oh, can I get a cigarette? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh yeah, like I just got a new phone, like I fucking got a bunch of money, but I'm just walking around because I'm drinking all day. And he's like, and I'm like, I'll give you a ride. He's like, yeah, if you give me a ride, I'll get you some beers. So I give him a ride. He picks up like a 6-pack of IPAs. He drinks like one. I drink the rest of them. And then I'm like, go back to my grandma's. I'm like, I'm going to go do an open mic. I just go to the bar instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just drinking at the bar. Next thing you know, like some guy's like, oh, yeah, I got a Coke guy. I'm like, yo, I just got paid.
Oh, no.
And then, yeah, so I just do a bunch of Coke by myself. Just doing coke in my room watching porno. Like, this is terrible.
That's a horrible life. Yeah.
It's terrible. Like, when it started off, it was like so cool. Like, I'm a rock star. I do cocaine.
Oh, 100%. It's such a fun drug to do. It's my favorite drug.
Definitely one of my favorite drugs. But yeah, the come down was always so bad.
Ah, the worst.
So like, yeah, after that night, I was like, I can't do this on my own. So I went to a 12-step program,
mm-hmm.
and started going to meetings, and yeah, like I haven't had a drink since I started going to meetings, or like any weed or anything.
Yeah, the meetings have really helped you out a lot.
Yeah, because like that, like it makes you in touch with like your spiritual, the thing that like God or whatever you want to call it, higher mm-hmm. power. They call it just a higher power, and that helps keep you sober, because like you're giving your life over to that.
Yeah,
because when you try to, when you have like a real addiction or like alcoholism, like you can't be left to your own devices. Like I've tried that.
Yeah, you need someone, something to help you be accountable.
Exactly, something
a lot of people myself. Yeah,
and it's like they don't even make it like, oh, it has to be Jesus or something, you know? It's like,
no, I know the 12 said,
it could be like a chair.
Yeah,
it's not yourself, you know.
Oh well, see, a lot of times, especially when it comes to certain religions, me and my buddy are really into this, a lot of times when they're talking about God and Jesus, it's the I am, it's like the God within you.
Oh yeah, well, God is within you, but it's not like,
no, it's that we are all gods, like the God within all of us. That's a different podcast.
I believe that. I'm totally down with that.
Like, yeah,
I mean, I've done a lot of acid and mushrooms to see
some stuff where it's, yeah,
on trips where it's like, yeah, I know everybody's just me, and I know exactly what they're thinking. Like,
mm-hmm.
one time I was on acid, I was selling it in New York, and I was like on it at the bar,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, just on such a good one. And I'm just like sitting in the back of the bar just by myself, like just chilling, like on top of the world. And like, yeah, these girls come sit up next to me, and then this girl's like, oh, what's your deal? And then I'm like, do you want to make out?
I did just ask her to make out.
And then we start making out, and then I go sleep with her, and it's like the worst sex ever. Like, I thought she was like a robot. But I was, then I came back to the bar. I'm like, I'm the man, dude. I'm crushing it. And then I just start drinking, like, because I'm just so fucking high on acid. I'm like, this will take the edge off. And then at the end of the night, I'm just throwing up outside of the bar. I lost my bag that had like 30 hits of acid in it and like 3 ounces of weed.
Not a good drug dealer.
No, it was terrible. And that same night, I asked my friend if he wanted a hit. And he was like, yeah. I didn't realize that he was up from the night before. They were doing coke all night.
Oh, and then he decided to do acid.
Yeah.
How did that work out for him?
He ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, that's never a good
idea. I felt bad about it at the time, but now that I'm sober, like, I feel really bad about that. And then, yeah, like, he was another comedian, and, like, all of his comedian friends that I was friends with, too, were all trying to fuck me up.
Oh, because
they were like, you drugged him. And I'm like, I asked him if he wanted some, and he said, yeah, I didn't realize he was blacked out.
Yeah, that's not your responsibility.
But yeah, but I did need to be more responsible with how I was giving it out. And yeah, that night.
Yeah, not everyone can handle
right. Exactly, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just a hippie.
Yeah, no, same thing. I'm like, wait, you've never done acid? What's wrong with you? How have you never? Yeah, but no, it is a pretty serious, it can really fuck people up.
Definitely, yeah. So, like, that happened. Like, a lot of bad shit like that along those lines happened when I was getting fucked up. So, yeah, like, I was like, all right, I gotta change. And then now it's like...
What made you decide to move to Austin?
Well, Lucas was like, let's get a place together. Mm-hmm. I'll handle the lease and shit because I have terrible credit.
Yeah. How long did you end up in California, though? How long were you there for?
4 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I started the program out there, and...
You found a place here.
Yeah. And now here it's like, yeah, I got a new sponsor and shit, and he's chill. But yeah, I'm like considering... smoking weed again, maybe, like, just on a special occasion.
Okay.
Because I'm going to this big festival.
Yeah.
On Wednesday.
Oh, this could be your first festival sober.
Yeah, exactly. I used to get so fucked up at these things.
Do you think you're ready to go to a festival at 2 months sober?
Yeah, because I've already been around cocaine and, like, drinks.
And stuff. Well, yeah, if you're roommates.
Yeah, exactly. My roommate's a fucking degenerate. I've been trying to get him to go to meetings with me.
No, yeah, I don't...
He doesn't have that bad of a problem. Like, with me, it's like, if I start... like the next day when I'm hungover, I'm going to be like, this sucks. Let me drink some more.
Yeah. Yeah. You try to overcompensate.
And then I'll just do that for like ever.
Ever. Yeah. Just repeat the cycle.
Yeah. And then until I, oh yeah, that's probably not good. I'm fidgeting the mic. The teacher, I got in trouble.
I was like, what the fuck is that noise? There's always weird noises. On this podcast. Well, congratulations on the 2 months sober. I would suggest not smoking weed at the festival.
Why?
That's just my...
What about a little mushrooms?
Maybe a microdose.
A little bit of mushrooms. I'm going to see J-Rad. Joe Russo's Almost Dead. Grateful
Dead fucking
tribute
that
band. String Cheese Incident.
I know the String Cheese.
Yeah, I've seen them before. Last time I saw them, I was way too high on acid.
I have seen them before. I mean, if you're doing it for more like of a spiritual...
No, I'm doing it for fun.
Okay. You know what?
But it doesn't lead me to drinking, you know? Like
that you know of.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't know. That's enough.
I mean,
you
got to test your boundaries. You got to see what can
trigger
you. Well,
yeah, and that doesn't break my sobriety, you know, at least for me, you know. I mean, some people are very, like, strict about that where they're like, you can't do
anything. Well, they have,
any
like,
mind-altering substance.
They have, like, the California sober where people just smoke weed, like, they don't drink.
Yeah, and that's chill. Like, if you can, like, if as long as, like, your life is better.
It's not, yeah, affecting anything.
Yeah, and it's not going to lead you to drink. Like, that's fine. Like, if I did cocaine, that would lead me to drink.
And lead you to other things. Yeah.
So, like, if I do a little bit of LSD or little mushrooms, you know, when I see... You know, an artist that I love.
Like, yeah.
You know?
Oh, no, it could be a very spiritual experience.
And then I just go have fun with my friends, you know? But yeah, I'm going to see a bunch of friends from California, and they're all going to be camped together, and they're just, you know, I know they're going to have, like, nitrous tanks and shit.
Oh, God, nitrous tanks.
Yeah.
Those were always so fun.
They love nitrous, ketamine, cocaine, molly.
I've never been big on ketamine. But I do, I had, I went through a whole phase, probably a little bit before quarantine. I have like a cracker and we would get, I ordered this huge box.
Yeah, no, that shit's fun. But yeah, no, I'm not planning to do any of that. That's...
Yeah, yeah. Once you start with that, then it could be a slippery slope.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer, yeah, just take one thing. I'm high for like 10, 12 hours. And then, yeah, the next...
Acid was always my favorite at festivals because you were fucked up for a very long time for very minimal money, especially if you were really poor.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to get it for free. I'm Grateful Dead family, so... I'm connected.
I'm grandfathered in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's been fun. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, where can people find you?
Juan Medrano Comedy on Instagram.
How do you spell your last name?
Medrano. How does it sound?
M-I-D.
Medrano? Is that what I said?
Medrano.
Medrano, M-E-D-R-A-N-O.
Oh yeah, see, mid. I
Juan Medrano,
Midrano.
You're saying I'm mid.
You got mid.
This podcast was fucking mid, guys.
You can find this wonderful podcast on Twitter and Instagram at How to Do Drugs Pod. Also, rate and subscribe. YouTube, Audible, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all of the places. I'm starting to remember more of the places my podcast is because I haven't done it in a while. I'm getting it back, you guys. I'm getting it back.
Nice. We're going to do big numbers on this
one. Big numbers, yo. Big numbers. You can find me, the Aaliyah Janine, on... I'm calling it X now. It's not Twitter. Twitter was fun. X sucks. And I feel disrespectful.
You don't like X?
No.
What's wrong? You don't like Elon Musk?
I mean, I don't know him.
You're a liberal.
No, I no political affiliation whatsoever. As my buddy Mike Yard says, I do not participate in gang activity.
No, that's good. Me neither. But I like X.
I used to love Twitter was my jam when I was verified and it was all cool and stuff. And now people are paying for it. It's just weird.
But yeah, no, it has gotten super racist since Elon Musk.
Oh my God, the ads. Yes. So on X, the Aaliyah Janine, Aaliyah.Janine on Instagram and YouTube, Aaliyah Janine on Facebook, and yeah, that's it. Okay, bye.
Bye. Cool. That was very fun.